You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
CF.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His word.
Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. And we'll be following Divine Service Setting 3. And that begins on page 184 in the hymnal. And then these are the hymns for today. I'm going to read them for the sake of our radio audience. Our opening hymn 465 is "Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds." Hymn of the day 839, "O Christ, our true and only light." Distribution hymn 633, "At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing." 688, "Come Follow Me," the Savior spake. 810, "O God, O Light of Light." Closing hymn 525, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." And I save a couple announcements for after the service, but this one is worth mentioning over the radio. We're going to have a new members class, but it's going to be members for all. We're going to do it Sunday during our regular Bible study hour. I'm thinking of starting next Sunday. However, I'll poll those interested because it's Mother's Day next Sunday. I don't want any conflict, but we'll see. So we may start that next Sunday, and this will be probably be eight weeks that we'll do this. Anyway, so more on that later. Let's begin with our opening hymn, 465. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We allow time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, the poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for the third Sunday in Easter is from the book of Acts, chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert again and sing together the gradual. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 5. Let's see. I'll begin at verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm using some sermon helps from Pastor Robert Dargetz. We want to recognize Jesus kept his promise and did what no one in human history has ever done before or since. He raised himself from the dead. And he made many appearances for 40 days after that event, after his resurrection, giving his disciples a chance to let this sink in, this truth, that he is risen indeed. And for a long time, the Christian church has made it a custom each year during the 40 days after Easter, the 40 days after the resurrection, to focus on the wonder, the joy of the resurrection appearances of Jesus. And that's what we're doing this morning. You heard some of that in the readings. Jesus is with us always, but he chooses when and where and how he makes his presence more obvious, more obviously apparent to his followers. He often reveals himself to us in places and ways and times that we don't expect. And we please the Lord when we trust in his promises and we trust him and we walk by faith rather than by sight. And so we must recognize our risen Redeemer. We recognize him where he promises to reveal himself. Jesus, our Redeemer, had risen from the dead. The Old Testament, those Hebrew scriptures, they declared that in fact it would happen. Those scriptures written centuries earlier, they made it clear that this is what would happen. Jesus himself told the apostles that this is what he was going to do. Mark records three times that Jesus, he plainly told them he's going to be killed and after 3 days, rise again. And leading up to today's gospel reading text, Jesus had already appeared to his disciples after his resurrection multiple times in Jerusalem. And the apostles would be commissioned. They would be sent by Jesus as witnesses of the resurrection. He would tell them. He would say, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And the risen Redeemer promised to reveal himself to his followers. Besides those appearances in Jerusalem, he promised at least one more before his ascension. And the disciples were in Galilee because Jesus had promised to reveal himself there. But he didn't say exactly when he would reveal himself there. So Jesus' followers had to wait, and they had to watch. Waiting, as we know, has its challenges. We must fight the temptation to become weary of doing good as we wait. It's tempting to think that what we do or how we live doesn't matter if we don't believe that Jesus will appear again. Must stay awake, spiritually speaking. Stay alert, stay ready. Jesus warned that those who are not ready when he returns, they're not going to enter his kingdom. And we must use this time well, this time that he's given us while we wait. As we read in Ephesians, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we are to be wise stewards of the gifts, the abilities, the talents that he's entrusted to us, knowing that we'll give an account when he returns. We will not know how and why God does what he does. He is God and we're not. So we shouldn't worry about it. We shouldn't second guess God. And we need each other while we wait together. God has given us each other to encourage each other and to build one another up. But will we recognize our risen Redeemer where he promises to reveal himself? The disciples didn't recognize Jesus at first until he replicated the miracle that he had done earlier. Jesus' ways are not our ways. They are above ours. As Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been his counselor?" The greatest example is the cross. The cross is folly to human wisdom. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God becoming a man, dying a humiliating, agonizing death, it's foolish to the world. It would be to us also, were it not for the Holy Spirit revealing this truth to us. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Jesus is hidden, except when he's revealed. And he reveals himself to us. John 20:21 emphasizes this fact that Jesus reveals himself. And those things that are not revealed, they must remain hidden. What's hidden, we don't need to know. We don't need to worry about. Jesus knows, he wants and provides what is best for us. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. We have confidence that the risen Redeemer does reveal himself in the means of grace. The New Testament, the apostolic scriptures, document the fact of the resurrection and how the resurrection fulfilled the Old Testament. Baptism unites us with Christ. As Paul says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For we have not been united with him in a death like his. If we had not been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And the sacrament of the altar gives us this intimate assurance and strength. In the same way also, he took up the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And Jesus, with those Emmaus disciples, when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The means of grace keep the promise of the resurrection before us. It's important that we recognize our risen Redeemer, where he is promised to be found, and not let Satan or the world nor our own sinful flesh obscure this. Jesus has provided and continues to provide his disciples with what they need to have faith in his victory over death by his resurrection. He's equipped us for the earthly lives that are worth living and that are capable of bringing glory to God and benefit to others. He promises blessing to those who follow and obey him while we wait for him to return and to inaugurate his heavenly kingdom in all its fullness. We can find him where he promised us we can find him, in the means of grace. There we find the strength and the encouragement to endure until his glorious appearance. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Thank you. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive the praise and thanksgiving of your people, for you have sent your Son as the Lamb to ransom us by his blood and make us a kingdom of priests in your service. Bless your church, that all we endeavor to do in your name may be in accord with your will. Accomplish your holy purpose in calling many joyfully to know your redemption. Lord, in your mercy. Ever-living God, you raised up Saul from among your enemies that he would suffer for your name. Stir up all those baptized into your name and call many men to the service of your church. Sustain all who suffer for the gospel and continue to confound its enemies with your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all nations, you provided a miraculous catch of fish to the apostles and much more blessed their efforts as fishers of men. Continue to bless the church as she spreads the gospel and gathers in as many as would be saved. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, one generation of your saints commends your works to another. As we have received your glorious gospel, grant all fathers and mothers strong and joyful faith to declare your mighty acts to the generation to come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, enthroned in heaven, you have ordered all the nations of the earth and have set your church among them to shepherd them into eternal life. Hear the prayers we continually offer for our rulers, especially Donald, our president, and Tony, our governor, and grant them faithful and peaceful governance. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you are glorified in the sufferings of your faithful people. Teach us to trust you through all our trials and graciously bear up those who struggle among us, especially Shirley, Fred, Anita, Duane, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Kara, Erno, Jeff, and Ethel, that they would know the fullness of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you gave your Son to be the Lamb. He has given us his own flesh to be our food and his very blood to be our drink. Give us your Holy Spirit so that we who approach his table may receive his gifts with repentant hearts and faith, that what we receive with our lips we may keep in holy hearts and show forth in holy lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are holy, and you sanctify us in Christ. Give us strength during temptation, courage in times of fear, comfort in distress, and resolve in the face of persecution. Help us to abound in hope in every circumstance through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is collected. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound in to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.